Now, one of the last legislative acts of the Morrison government ahead of the next election will be to introduce new laws punishing social media companies that allow themselves, in the words of the Prime Minister, to be weaponized by terrorists. It's a response, of course, to the Christchurch massacre. Far less tragic, far less dramatic, is another aspect of social media platforms, but one that we're going to take a look at today. It involves the use by major corporations to get around restrictions on advertising to children. Unlike television broadcasters, who in Australia and many countries place strict limits on how products can be sold to children, there are few qualms about kids being fed a diet of hard sell in apparently entertaining segments on, for example, YouTube channels. YouTube is owned by Google, which part funds an organisation called the Children's Advertising Review Unit, and its director is Donna Fraser, and she joins us now from the United States. Hello, Donna.
Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you? Now, tell us, what does the Children's Advertising Review Unit do?
So we are the self-regulatory body for the children's advertising industry, meaning that advertisers fund us financially, support us, and we self-regulate. So we look at their advertising in all mediums. We started in print and TV, and we've moved to the online arena. So we're looking at, we provide guidelines for industry, and they adhere to the guidelines. If they don't adhere to the guidelines, we will open up what we call a case or decision against them, citing where they are not adhering to our guidelines. And we also look at what companies are doing in the online space with regards to data collection of children in the on the internet and in mobile apps as well.
So do the rules differ between social media platforms and, say, free-to-air television about what you can do when it comes to selling product to children?
Yes. So here in the United States, we have the Children's Television Act. And in other countries, as you mentioned earlier, there are strict guidelines with regards to what can be done in television. And unfortunately, and this is not unusual, you know, technology has moved so far past legislation. So we're still playing catch up in regards to the laws, catching up to what technology does and can do. So we, in applying those old laws to new technology, it doesn't always make sense.
So,
so right now we don't have any applicable laws. We have one here in the United States, COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, but I know in Australia you don't have a particular Online Privacy Act, but in the United States we do.
So is it fair to say that there is a regulatory gap, and into that gap is falling an entire new phenomenon, and that is these child influencers who are able to use this enormous reach through social media platforms on Instagram and YouTube and elsewhere, which, what is it, your concern that they are fundamentally presenting what can look like an entertaining thing with a kid, but which is in fact, in many cases, all about shipping product or advertising product to children.
Right. So, you know, KRU's biggest concern is children's perception, right? Because they're very vulnerable. And our concern is that advertising is directed in a truthful and undeceptive way. And what we've discovered is that with a lot of these influencers, children and otherwise, it's very difficult even for adults to discern what is an advertisement versus what's actually programming. And when you have a child who's simply sitting in front of a camera unboxing a game or a toy, it's difficult for a child or an adult to understand that maybe this child was given this product by a company and is being asked to do this spot. And it may not always appear that way. So what we're asking for is some sort of disclosure to let users know that this is an advertisement. This is not entertainment necessarily, but this is an advertisement.
I'm looking at something on YouTube at the moment with the sound down, I'm happy to say. It's from Jojo Siwa, a name that means very little to me, but I think means a fair bit to my prepubescent kids. She is at a Target store. She has a shopping trolley. She has a line of clothes. She is racing around Target. It's, you know, at almost epilepsy-inducing rates of camera maneuvers and all the rest of it. And with great excitement, she's piling all these toys, these clothes into the shopping trolley. And on the YouTube underneath, it says, "I'm so excited that me new Target collection is out, JoJo's Closet 2.0. You can shop JoJo's Closet right now at Target." Is that an advertisement or is that just entertainment?
I would argue that it's an advertisement. Without seeing it, I would argue that that it's very easy to perceive that as an advertisement. However, in light of who her audience is, and this is part of the problem, is that you may have kids who are teens and tweens, but they have very young followers because children always want to age up. So I don't remember how old she is. I want to say that she's 13 or 14, but her followers are probably likely younger and probably don't understand that may be perceived as an advertisement. She's selling her wares, right? Target wants people to come into their stores. And that's a lot of what this is with influencers across the board. Brands want to be able to find relatable influencers to help drive their product, to help get sales, to help get things off the shelves. And there's nothing wrong with that, but let's just make it clear that that's what this is.
And looking at the clothes that she's flogging there, they look preteen. So that's a young audience. So psychologically, mm-hmm. presumably, you've got the only person interested in this really is, as you say, someone in that age group. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any guards up at that age against the deviousness, presumably, of the advertiser's message.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the problem?
Right. That's part of the problem. And I think, you know, part of the other problem is, you know, we often get asked this question. If we're talking about YouTube as a platform, if YouTube is intended for children 13 and up, how are we having all these young users on YouTube? You know, that's part of the other problem. So, we haven't figured, I mean, you've got millions and millions of kids under 13 on YouTube. These kid influencers like JoJo have millions and millions of followers.
Because as you say, you're not allowed to sign up unless you're 13 years old. Those are the rules, aren't you, theoretically, for YouTube?
Right, exactly. So
every parent, and I've got kids who are 7 and 9 years old, and one who's 13 years old, but this won't surprise any parent in my circumstance that 80%, mm-hmm. more than 80% of children in the United States use YouTube, children between the ages of 6 and 12. So whatever whatever they say about you can't access this until you're 13 years old, something's mm-hmm. not working.
Right. So the rule is that their privacy policy and their terms of use indicate that in order to create an account, you must be 13 or over, because at that point, at account creation, they're collecting data about you. However, you can watch, you can view anything on YouTube without creating an account, regardless of how old you are, because they're not asking age, right? So you could just, as a parent, if I'm a parent and I hand over my tablet or my phone to my 10-year-old child, they can just go to YouTube, Google YouTube, and type in anything. Type in Peppa Pig and watch Peppa Pig, and no account creation is needed. And that's part of the problem, in my opinion, because now advertising is being directed to that child, but YouTube doesn't know that that's a child. They may be getting adult advertising.
Absolutely. And I'm seeing an article here that is on a marketing magazine. It's mm-hmm. aimed purely at adult marketing. And the headline says, 12 kid influencers that can help you target the younger generation. So in the marketing world, there's absolutely no illusion about what's going on here. There are people here. Ethan Gamer is number one. Someone called mm-hmm. Amarin Myler Stauffer. Coco is another one, Robertson Brothers, and these are
Ryan,
children.
Yeah,
these are children. In some cases, they're kid toy testers. There's an Australian called Millie Bell Diamond, and who's 3 years old.
Right.
Now, let's be grown up about this for a minute. This is big business by adults shopping out kids to move product.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's absolutely right. And I think advertisers may argue, what's the difference between this and a commercial for a Barbie product with children in the commercial, right? What's the difference? I would argue that there's a huge difference. It's very easy to turn the television off, first of all. And usually those commercials are not just targeted to kids, they're targeted to parents as well. But here you are, you know, you're engaging in a way that's allowing a certain level of interaction. And because of the way YouTube is, there's always, you know, what I call the black hole on the right-hand side of YouTube, which has this invitation almost to other content that sends you down this black hole, child or adult. You know, there's a lot of enticing things on YouTube that can distract you from that actual video that you want to watch, but also engage you in other ways that TV can't.
Okay. Now, we're almost out of time. Obviously, some regulation is probably going to come. Donna Fraser, director of the Children's Advertising Review Unit in the United States, all power to your arm, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.